This is the smoking room?
Yes. Nothing's been touched, except they thought it decent to cover William with a sheet.
Yes, I quite understand. And this is William Compline. I don't imagine he knew anything about it. Caught in a little blitzkrieg of his own, poor chap. That's the murder weapon?
Yes, it hung up on the wall there with the other weapons.
Now, if Hart took it down from its place on the wall, he'd have been in full view of William as he fiddled with the knobs on that radio.
Yes, I suppose he would.
Yet he saw no cause for alarm.
Hart might have taken it down earlier.
Perhaps. And that door leads to
the Green Boudoir.
To which Hart was banished.
Yes.
And this one? Where does this lead to?
To the library.
Woodworm.
Pardon?
Small hole here in the door jamb. Looks like woodworm. Where's my pocket lens? Perhaps not.
I'm awfully sorry to have kept you waiting. I'm Jonathan Royle.
Roderick Allen.
How do you do? I do hope Aubrey has been looking after you.
Yes, indeed. Interesting room, Mr. Royle.
Oh, it's a terrible room now. It will never be the same again.
I shall need to take some photographs.
Yes, why not? It can't disturb him now. I was very fond of William. Oh, what a dreadful business, and all my fault. This ridiculous party. Oh. What is it, Aubrey?
I seem to have got something stuck in the sole of my boot. It won't come out. Yes, it will. It's a drawing pin.
A drawing pin? May I see?
Yes. Here it is.
It's just a drawing pin, Mr. Allain. It can't possibly have any significance. William was sketching in here yesterday. It probably belonged to him. But surely it's obvious what happened. Hart crept in from the boudoir, took down the Mary, and struck William on the head with it, believing him to be Nicholas. In the light of Hart's earlier unsuccessful attempts at the pool, and with the Buddha, and the threat he made when we were playing charter, I should have thought that crystal clear.
Oh, yes, thank you for reminding me. I should like to see that slip of paper from the charter game, if you still have it.
Of course I still have it, Mr. Allain. It's evidence.
When? It's convenient, then. Please. An impressive array of trophies you have here.
Yes.
This fishing rod?
It belonged to my grandfather. He caught a 4.5-pounder with it just above Trott's Bridge in 1900. It's hung there above the mantel ever since.
Escaping the attention of your housemaids, it seems.
But, oh, yes, dust, I see.
Yes, except for the line itself. No dust at all on that. Shouldn't there be a fly?
Yes. Yes, there should. A red and green Alexander.
The line's been cut through. Clean end,
Forgive me, Chief Inspector, but I don't quite...
Now, what about this?
What?
Interesting.
What is it, Elaine?
Here in the hearth. Fine thread of ash.
Isn't that what one would expect in a hearth?
Of course, Mr. Royle, of course. I'll just photograph it, if I may.
How is Mrs. Compline, Jonathan?
Oh, they think she's going to die.
Who's with her now?
Hart. A monstrous arrangement, I know, but what else could I do?
Is he alone?
Most certainly not. Lady Hersey Amblington, an experienced VAD, has never left Sandra's side. Oh, there is something else, Mr. Allain.
Yes?
This. It contains the note Sandra left for Nicholas. No one has read it but he. He placed it in this envelope in the presence of Lady Hersey and myself. I now hand it to you.
Very correct, sir.
Well, one is a J.P. after all.
Now, perhaps I should read it now.
Oh, take care. Fingerprints.
Yes, of course. Thank you again for reminding me, Mr. Royle. I shall be careful.
May we know what's in it, Elaine?
I don't see why not. My darling, you must not let this make you very sad. I think that during these last hours I have been insane. I cannot write a confession. What I am going to do will make things clear enough. All my life, everything I have done has been for you. Even this last terrible thing is for you, My last thoughts and prayers are for you, my dearest Nicholas. And then she signed it with her full name, Sandra Mary Compline.
Confession? She's confessing to William's murder? Impossible. Quite impossible.
It doesn't make any sense.
I must talk to Dr. Hart immediately.
He cannot leave his patient.
Then I'll see him upstairs, if you'll kindly lead the way.
I leave you to it then, Mr. Alley.
Thank you. Is she deeply unconscious, Dr. Hart?
Profound coma. I have done everything possible by way of treatment, but...
Was the stuff from the chemist of any use?
Oh, she isn't any better.
I wish you to record the treatment. I am in a dangerous position. I need to protect myself.
At the moment, Dr. Hart, I'm more concerned with your patient. Is there the smallest hope of recovery?
In my opinion, none.
How long?
Not very long, I think.
I think I should tell Nicholas, if that's all right.
Yes, Lady Hersey.
Thank you.
Dr. Hart, I have some questions to put to you. Will you answer them?
Why not?
First, did you push Mr. Mandrake into the pool?
No, I did not.
Did you write and pass to Nicholas Compline the charter form bearing the words, "You are warned, keep off"?
I did not, nor did I remove the putter from the passage and place it as a booby trap above his door.
One final question, Dr. Hart. Did you kill William Compline?
No.
Everyone in this house believes that you did.
Yes.
You seem very calm about it.
You mean that I'm not afraid? No, not now. I am an Austrian refugee and a Jew who became a naturalized Briton. I have developed a good nose for justice. I have learned when and when not to be terrified. I am, as you might say, a kind of barometer of terror. At this moment, I am quite normal. I respect British justice. I do not believe that I shall be found guilty of a murder I did not commit.
It would help if you had an alibi.
Alas.
Tell me what happened last evening after you had shouted at Nicholas Compline about the din from the wireless and Aubrey Mandrake had left the room.
I took his advice and poured myself a stiff whiskey, trying to pull myself together. I was beginning to feel more recovered when the wireless noises started up again, not loudly this time, more furtive. It sounded like Compline was fiddling with the dial control because there were snatches of music and then static, bursts of German and then French. I found it equally intolerable. I was so much on edge. I rushed at the communicating door, intending to have it out with Compline once and for all. But the door was locked, and the key was on the other side.
Locked?
Yes. He must have locked it after our earlier exchange, so I cursed him at the top of my voice through the door, and flying from the torment, went upstairs to my room.
But nobody saw you.
Oh, yes.
Hmm?
As I crossed the hall to the foot of the stairs, I passed the new footman with his tray of glasses. He went into the library. And as I reached the halfway landing, he came out again and began locking up in the hall. He will tell you that I did not enter the smoking room.
Well, Dr. Hart, we shall see. You're Thomas the footman?
Yes, sir.
Come in, Thomas. I'd like to ask you a few questions.
Certainly, sir.
I'd like to ask you about the events of last evening.
Yes, sir. If I can help, sir.
You took a tray of glasses to the library. Did you see anyone as you crossed the hall?
The foreign gentleman, sir. He came out of the green boudoir heading for the stairs. And as I came out of the library a few seconds later, sir, I saw him up on the landing on his way to his room.
How long did you stay in the hall?
I locked the front doors, made up the fire, tidied the tables.
Yes. How long might that have taken? Several minutes?
About that, yes.
And then you returned to the servants' quarters?
Not directly, sir, no. I heard this music on the wireless.
Oh, what sort of music?
Bumps a daisy, sir.
Oh, yes?
I went through the movements, sir. Hands, knees, and bumps, a daisy. You know.
Yes, yes, I know.
In time to the music, sir. I don't know why. I'm sure it just came over me. Mind you, I didn't do it for very long, sir, because it was halfway through when I started, and then the news came on, and I went below stairs.
Think carefully, Thomas. During the time you were dancing, did anybody at all, come into the hall?
No, sir. I assure you they didn't.
Would you swear that in a court of law?
I'd swear, sir.
Thank you, Thomas. That'll be all. No, sorry.
Yes, sir?
The maid who was looking after Mrs. Compline, would you tell her I'd like a word?
It's all gone so awfully quiet, Aubrey.
Yes.
Sinister, somehow. Like the quiet before a storm. What's he doing now?
Alain, I think he's on his own in the library. He's interviewed everyone in the house. Cloris.
Hmm?
May I kiss you?
Ah, the indoor sport idea, I see.
Oh, not sport, Cloris. I've fallen in love with you. Head over heels.
I'm really not at all clever. I put up a bluff. You'd despise me no end if you knew me better.
Are you in love with Nicholas Compline?
Nick? Oh, no. I fell for his line of stuff, that's all. I couldn't help myself. He's got it, as they say. Something in his makeup. But no, I'm cured of Nicholas. Forever.
Oh, good. Cloris, I have a confession. I wasn't christened Aubrey Mandrake. My real name is Stanley Footling.
Oh, dear.
I've never told anyone else.
I shall take that as a compliment.
Not even the Footlings of Fifeshire, or even furniture polish. Just Footling.
Oh, who cares? I won't shrink from you because of your name, if that's what you're afraid of.
Oh, darling, Cloris.
So that's where you both are. I should have known I'd find you together.
Hello, Jonathan.
Sad news, I'm afraid, and very upsetting. Sandra Compline has passed away.
Oh, dear.
Still, no point in getting maudlin. Elaine wants to see us all in the library. Now.
Ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen. Before we go any further, I must explain that I've arrived at a definite conclusion in this case.
You've arrested Hart.
No, Mr. Compline. Dr. Hart is quite innocent in this affair.
Innocent? But perhaps...
May I proceed? Thank you. I have asked you here in order that we may go over the events immediately preceding the discovery of William Compline's body in the next room. I have not asked those members of the party who are upstairs to be present, Dr. and Mrs. Hart. They cannot help us. You've all heard of police reconstructions. Well, this very short experiment may be regarded as a reconstruction, and if I am at fault in the smallest detail, I ask you to put me right. Is that quite clear?
You want us to do everything we did last night?
If you have no objection.
Very well.
Thank you. Now, the time is a minute or so before the crime was discovered. You, Mr. Compline, are next door in the smoking room with your brother, and the door connecting that room with the boudoir is locked on the smoking room side. The door from here to the smoking room is shut, as you can see. So, would you please take up your positions?
I was sitting here, opposite Jonathan.
Good, then would you please do so?
We were sitting here.
Oh, yes, that's right, yes.
I was in there.
Then would you mind? There's no one in there now.
Yes, very well, if I must. I trust this won't take long.
Not long, Mr. Compline, no. What happened next?
We talked about Nicholas and Hart having a row over the wireless.
And how long did that last, Lady Hersey?
About a minute. Wasn't longer, was it?
About a minute, yes.
And then Nicholas came in.
Good. You can come in now, Mr. Compline.
This is not at all pleasant for Nick, Mr. Elaine.
Nor indeed for the rest of us.
I'm all right.
Let's get on with it. Thank you, Mr. Compline. Did you come straight in?
I don't know.
I do. Yes, he came in and shut the door, pausing for a second with his hand on the knob.
That's right, he shut the door.
Then please shut the door, Mr. Compline.
Perhaps one of you would be kind enough as to enlighten me precisely what I did next.
You made a face as if to say Bill was still in a mood.
And I did thumbs up and you did thumbs down, yes. You remember?
And then you sat down in that chair by the door.
There's the chair, Mr. Compline. Would you please sit in it?
Very well.
Now what?
Jonathan asked me to ring for drinks, but before we could do so, we heard a clink of glasses outside
the
hall.
Ah, yes, the drinks.
Yes.
Thomas! Thank you, Thomas. Set it down on the table just as you did last evening.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Imagine Thomas is now out there, tidying the hall, drawing curtains, locking doors.
Oh, I'm not enjoying this.
Hart, having earlier heard strange noises from the wireless and found the door to the smoking room locked, has left the boudoir and crossed the hall. He has mounted the stairs and reached the half landing, heading for his room. Thomas has seen him go.
In fact, I'm hating it.
Did you have your drinks?
Yes. Jonathan poured them out and...
And I said, what about William?
Yeah, Compline stuck his head in at the smoking room door and called, coming for a drink, Bill.
Will you please do that, Mr. Compline?
Yes. If I must.
And call, please.
I can't. I'm sorry.
Very well. You called, coming in for a drink, Bill, and he replied...
I think he just grunted. And then I asked him to turn on the news.
What exactly did you say?
I can't remember.
Well, I can. You said, do you mind switching on the wireless? It's time for the news and we'd like to hear it. Then there was a slight pause.
I heard Bill walk across to the wireless, and I called out, thanks.
And then?
And then we heard the wireless, a popular song.
God in heaven! Get out of my way!
Hey, Mr. Compline, that'll do. Don't try anything. Fox, Bailey, take him away and charge him.
Come along, sir. Easy now. That's a good fella.
Don't look at me like that, all of you. I didn't do it. You can't prove anything against me. It was Hart.
It's enough, sir. Come along now.
And there, ladies and gentlemen, the reconstruction ends.
Oh, my God.
Well, James, good morning.
Hello, James.
Morning, sir. Morning, miss.
None the worse for your ordeal?
Well, as bad as all that, sir.
Oh, good.
My old auntie, Miss Fancy Boolin, bides at a cottage along to Hogs Corner.
Yes.
Her's 91 years of age and so cantankerous an old masterpiece, ever you did say.
Yes, well, I think...
Howsomever, after I left you... I weren't getting nowhere because of their snowdrifts.
No?
So I turned about thinking to go back to the car.
Ah.
And bless me, there it was, chugging and skittering along a little twiddling line of highfold.
Yes.
So I called in on my auntie. Oh, she were pleased as a punch to
see. Well,
we've
really got to go.
And when they two policemen arrive from London, I direct them best way to highfold.
Yeah.
No, bless you. Wasn't as bad as all that.
Yeah.
Bye now.
Yes. Bye, James.
Bye. Oh,
dear. Hello, you two. And where are you off to?
Morning, Elaine. We thought we'd like to go up to London for a change of scene, if that's all right with you.
Oh, so long as you're back by Wednesday for the inquest.
Oh, we promise. Mr. Elaine.
Miss Wynne.
Would you care to unravel some knots?
What knots?
Well, to begin with, did Nicholas shove me into the pool?
He did.
But he recognized me. He waved to me from the pavilion.
Because he recognized you, Mandrake. He'd already decided to stage a series of apparent attempts on his own life based on an idea of mistaken identity. The incident at the pool was the first. Then he wrote himself a threatening message in a crude imitation of Hart's handwriting. And finally he rigged up the booby trap with the Buddha.
Which went wrong and landed on his arm.
Exactly.
But why? Why should he do all these things?
Eliza Lissa was an extremely mercenary lady. She was in love with Nicholas, but divorce was out of the question. A young man with little money would never persuade her to embark on a damaging scandal.
Oh,
but
of course.
A young man with a large estate and fine prospects. How different.
She encouraged Nick to kill William.
Oh, no, she'd never risk that. No. No, she really thought that Hart had done that. No doubt she planned to wait a discreet period after her husband had been hanged and then marry Nicholas, and she will now strain every nerve to disassociate herself from him. But she will not succeed.
And Hart?
Now he knows the full truth about his wife, he'll have nothing more to do with her.
What will happen to him?
In a little while, there'll be a great need for surgeons in England. I think perhaps he may yet do more admirable work than the patching up of faded women's faces.
Yes. One more thing. How on earth did Nicholas manage that business with the wireless?
Well, you remember the fishing rod above the mantelpiece in the smoking room?
Yes.
When he was supposedly sulking, Nicholas cut off a length of the line with the fly on the end of it. He hooked the fly into the screw hole of the wireless volume control, passed the line under the waveband knob and over the tuning control, forming a sort of smooth-running pulley, and fixed the other end of the line to the library door jamb with a drawing pin.
Good heavens!
All he had to do then was to tweak the line and the hook, pull the volume control from zero to fairly loud, while the line playing over the tuning control tuned it to the station. Mm. As the hook reached the bottom of the circuit, it fell out.
It's ingenious.
Oh, but anyone could have fixed that.
Only after William was dead. Otherwise he would have noticed it, wouldn't he? No. Nicholas killed his brother, rigged the trick with the wireless, came out and shut the door. Later, he opened the door, held a one-sided conversation with William, asked for the news, tweaked the line at the door jamb end, and waited for someone to go into the smoking room.
But what happened to the line?
Well, when you and Royal were examining William's body, Nick had only to stoop and pull the line towards him.
See.
It appears that the drawing pin jerked away and he had no opportunity to hunt for it. In fact, you found it, Mandrake, with the sole of your boot.
That's right.
Yes. Then he gathered up the line and put it on the fire. Unfortunately for him, I found its trace among the ashes.
And the hook?
Ah, yes, the hook. That actually leads us to Mrs. Compline. They were her footprints you saw, Mandrake, when you were being helped back from the pool. She'd come out, seen Nicholas push you, and then hastily returned to her room.
Which accounts for the wet overcoat.
Yes. She was seen by her maid, looking terribly upset. At the time, she might have thought it was a dangerous piece of horseplay. But what was she to think when Nicholas accused Hart of having done it, thinking you, Mandrake, to be Nicholas himself? And what was she to think of the booby trap, when again Nicholas accused Hart? And finally, when Nicholas went to her on Saturday evening and told her Hart had killed William in mistake for himself, what was she to think then? With her secret knowledge, how could she escape the terrible conclusion that Nicholas had killed his brother?
Poor woman. Little wonder she took her own life.
Yes. Even there, in the note she left, she confessed to William's murder in a roundabout sort of way. She couldn't bring herself to say so in so many words, but Nicholas could read between the lines that she knew he had done it. And so could I. But you asked how he disposed of the hook. Mm. Well, Mrs. Compline wore a tweed hat with a yellow and black salmon fly pinned to the hatband. When I looked yesterday evening, there were two flies. The second was a red and green Alexander, and rather the worse for wear. Nicholas put it there after he had told his mother of William's death.
Oh.
A rather mad thing to do, wasn't it?
All homicides want to get rid of the corpus delicti. And he was banking on his mother not noticing the second fly and the shock of William's death. No doubt he planned to dispose of it more permanently later.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Elaine.
Thank you, Miss Wynne, for all your help.
Come along, darling. Goodbye, Elaine. We'll see you on Wednesday.
I shouldn't go now if I were you. They're just taking Nicholas to the police station.
Has he confessed?
Yes.
Then what will happen to him? Will he... Oh, God.
Darling.
I should be there now to see him go.
Jonathan and Lady Hersey are doing that. Visit him later if you wish. Now isn't the time, believe me.
Oh, there, I've got you. There, darling.
Come along now then, Mr. Compline. Step lively, the car's waiting outside.
Here they come.
Would you rather I went away, Jonathan?
It's for your sake, Hersey.
Then I'll stay.
Ah, Percy. Jonathan. I must thank you for a quite splendid party. A great success, eh? It must have surpassed your wildest dream.
Nicholas, if you wish me to see your solicitor or do anything else that I am able to do, you have only to send instructions.
There is one thing. Please. You can stop them hanging me.
No, no, you don't want to be talking like that, so come along.
Stop them hanging me! Stop them hanging me!
Percy.
Yes?
If I told you I've learned my lesson, would you... could you forgive me?
No more parties?
Oh, not like this one, no. It's been a horrible nightmare. I think perhaps I do these things because I'm a bit lonely.
Too much time and too much money.
Yes. Oh, Percy, what am I to do?
What you've got to do is to think about other things. Get a new interest.
Oh, Percy.
That was Death and the Dancing Footman by Niall Marsh, which was dramatized for radio by Alan Dana. With Nigel Graham as Chief Detective Inspector Roderick Alain, Lawrence Payne as Jonathan Royal, and Stephen Pacey as Aubrey Mandrake. Sandra Compline was played by Avril Clark, William Compline by Stuart Organ, and Nicholas Compline by Stephen Hattersley. Jane Leonard was Cloris Wynne, Alan Dana, Dr. Francis Hart, Natasha Pine, Madame Lissa, Margaret Ward, Lady Hersey Amblington, and Elaine Claxton, Troy Elaine. James Bewling was played by Peter Tottenham, the Reverend Walter Copeland by Sean Prendergast, and Thomas by Brian Hewlett. Death and the Dancing Footman was directed by David Johnston.